What's up, everybody? This is yet another exciting episode of the Army of Smarts podcast. I am, of course, your host, Ryan. Today on the show, man, we got some things. We got perhaps a few powderific problems happening with NWA. Vince McMahon is selling out. He sold out. He sold, well, not all of it. And, we've got NXT coming to CW. There might be a problem with that. And we apparently missed some things off of our creepiest list. And as well, the crown jewel happened this past weekend. So we got to talk about that. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook at Army of Smartness. And of course, email that Gmail. ArmyofSmartness@gmail.com. But before we get to all that, let me introduce to you the Garfunkel to my oats, the Paul to my Hall, Mr. JD. JD, how you be?
Well, Ryan, we had it and we lost it. We blew it here at the NWA. Up in a puff of smoke, well, powder anyway. Yes, yeah, so as you alluded to, Father James Mitchell, whatever he's calling himself these days, the Sinister Minister, as I recall him from ECW days, James Vanderbeek, what was his name on WCW?
James Mitchell, whatnot.
I know there was Vander something at one point on WCW, like early WCW before ECW, I think. Vander Sloat, Joran Vander Sloat.
I don't know.
Anyway, point is, I mean, I wouldn't go as far as say he has a cocaine problem. He just likes the smell of it. On the NWA's most recent pay-per-view, spectacular. Let's just go with that, I guess. Samhain, I think is how you say that. Samhain is spelled Sam Hain, but I think it's Samhain, if I understand my pagan Celtic well enough. Yeah, apparently there was a scene where I can't confirm this because at last report, 212 people bought this pay-per-view, and I'm not kidding.
James Vandenberg, by the way.
James Vandenberg, that's it. James Vanderbeek. I knew it was something like that. But up his beak went some powdered substance. Could have just been powdered sugar. You know, we don't. The world may never know. But apparently, this was not just him going into business for himself. Apparently, your friend and mine, Mr. William Corgan, fought for this to be included in the pay-per-view. To what end, I do not understand, and we'll never know. But yeah, I mean, in a related story, it sounds like the NWA will not be going to the CW after all. Ryan, what am I to make of this? Just, you know,
Well,
blowing the spot here.
apparently it was wrong to say that they were going to CW to start with. The
I'm sure they'd say that
apparently
now.
Mr. Corgan saying that it is a top 20 TV channel that they are going to, and so
Are there 20 TV channels?
there's like 6,000 nowadays. Of course, there used to be only like.
Please,
Back in the day,
please,
there used to only be like 10, but
please let it be TBN. I want it to be TBN so bad.
is that top 20? What let it
Can
be
you
weather
name
let it
20?
be Weather Channel.
Yeah, well, there was snowing, all right, at the pay-per-view there. My goodness gracious.
Blood runs cold in the
Well, down the
NWA.
nose, yeah. After a few tootskies, a little snortsky.
But yeah, they shouldn't have done that. They were just a boy.
They ought not to have done that.
But yeah, apparently they're the standards and practices of CW is not too happy with NWA over the fact that they seem to be simulating snorting cocaine over
Doing a
that
little
one
toot,
segment.
little
But
toot.
so good for CW for actually giving a shit.
Right.
Because I was completely unaware that they did.
I was completely unaware they still existed. So,
Oh,
yeah,
me
we just learned all
too.
kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Do they still play the Wayans brothers? Want to say that?
I'm pretty sure they play One Tree Creek. Was it? What's the one?
I don't know.
They're probably girlfriends. I think girlfriends probably still running on the CW.
Well, good for them, man. I root for them.
Sure. Yeah. I'm a well wisher in that I don't wish them any specific harm. So on a related note, what is coming to ECW is NXT. Just letters flying all over the place. We maybe it was like a Wheel of Fortune situation. We had N blank blank to CW, and we always filled in WA, but it was in fact XT, NXT coming to the CW. Now, again, not NXS. I think that was a reality show on Fox. They were trying to find a new lead singer. Well, no, they were trying to find a new lead singer for the band NXS.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because the guy died, I think. I don't remember. It's NXS. Who cares?
So is the Nashville Network still around?
That is Spike now. That became Spike.
Okay.
Yeah, it went from the Nashville Network to the National Network to just TNN, and now it's Spike.
Okay. Well, good for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think they have Crook and Chase on anymore, unfortunately.
I'm a big fan of whatever they want to do.
Hey, listen, TNN used to run reruns of Mama's Family, so they are cool in my book, all right?
Well, apparently NXT, the WWE, had been in conversations with CW for months before they decided to move NXT to CW, which also tells me that maybe they never really had a deal with NWA to bring them in there to begin with. But if that is the case, then obviously NWA is going to move to the app and CW will be, or excuse me, NXT will actually be televised. So,
well, yeah, in the loosest imaginable terms, it will be televised. I think this does what we have been wanting it to do for NXT for a while. It, you know, with the developmental program, you don't want anybody to actually see it. Because people aren't, by definition, aren't ready for prime time. So the CW is probably the closest to no one seeing it as you could possibly get and still technically be on TV. So, you know, it's one step above local access, cable access. But I mean, I don't know if it even gets the reach of the Outdoor Trail with Wayne Pearson. Does it even get that much traction?
I don't know. I'll tell you what does get traction, though. Vince McMahon selling off 8 million shares of his own stock.
Yeah, but he owns like 24 million. So it's really not that. I mean, that's just a run to the ATM for him. He's not out of it. People are like, oh, he's out of business. Oh, he sold his shares. Oh, he's done it. No. He ran to the ATM is what happened.
No, he just cashed out. What would that come to? About
$700 million, what I saw.
$700 million.
American, yes.
Yeah, he's doing just fine.
Oh, we're not going to be shedding any tears for old Vince.
But he did sell about around 8 million shares back to TKO. This TKO Holdings or is in the process of doing so. Takes a while to apparently sell that many shares of stock.
Well, because you got to do it one at a time. They got to print up those certificates, you know, the stock certificates and mail them out. So
yeah, somebody got to sign for them. And, you know, UPS is these days. And but no, it's you actually, for a deal that size, it actually has to be underwritten by a bank. So a whole lot of regulations go on behind that. So so
he's gonna be just fine.
Good for Vince. If I was him, I'd probably just sell the rest and move out on my own, but that's just,
yeah, move to Tahiti.
Or he could just this could be an attempt to buy NWA and take it over and then build it up just to prove that he can do it again.
Wait, NWA, are we going to see the return of Do-Rag Vince?
Oh, maybe.
Have we been that? Are we that lucky?
It's not ECW.
I know, but NWA has two meanings, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Generally just one in this context, though.
I don't know. I mean, there were the No Limit Soldiers. I mean, there's been a lot of rap, wrestling crossover.
Yeah. Well, anyways, So we also have Mr. Logan Paul as your new United States
Well,
champion.
just jump all over our crown jewel review, why don't you?
Well, this is part of what you sent me. So
I send y'all kind of shit.
yeah, you also put Aaron Paul instead of Logan Paul, but let's not talk
Well,
about that.
Aaron Paul doesn't box either, now does he?
Well, Logan Paul does though.
Not anymore. He retired.
I don't know that he retired.
I just told you.
Is he retired?
Yeah, he retired from boxing to focus full time on his WWE
Okay.
ventures
Okay.
as the
Well,
United States heavyweight champion of the United States.
that's awesome. But he is also your new United States champion. He's also taken some pictures with said belt that would make
And some lady. Who's the lady?
this his new girlfriend, or I think they're
Oh.
actually fiance.
Oh, see, that's nice.
Anyway, she's pretty hot, but that was actually a point of consternation in his previous fight. Apparently, the other guy was saying that she might have been a little loose. So, anyways, but yeah, good for him. Honestly, there was a moment in that match that I'm pretty sure that he saved Rey Mysterio's life.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Because there was definitely a high abusive moment coming.
Yeah, real botch
That was
swamp.
probably created because Logan Paul was not in position to begin with, but he
Yeah.
did it. He that was a nice save on his part, so it's not like he doesn't care. And I don't. It just I just perceive it as that. Maybe something else happened. But anyways, thank you for saving Rey Mysterio's life.
He's a national treasure, just,
Yeah.
not of this nation.
And of course, we had Seth freaking Rollins getting the win over Drew McIntyre. I think we both missed on that one.
Yeah, we do. We're
And
rubbing
of
my nose
course,
in that one, that's fine.
Damian Priest attempted to cash in his money in the bank, and then Sami Zayn just stole the briefcase.
Whoops.
So way to go on that one.
The baby face Sami Zayn just taking other people's property.
Yeah, the old white meat baby face on that.
Yeah.
Of course, Rhea Ripley gets the win over Nia Jax, Raquel Rodriguez, Shayna Baszler, and Zoe Stark. I believe we both had Rhea Ripley on that one. So way to go on that one.
Hey, we did a good job.
Solo Sikoa gets the win over John Cena. I think you took Solo on that one. I took Cena. So you got one up on me on that one.
Huzzah!
Let's see, we got Logan Paul, of course, getting the win on that. I think we both had Logan. Well, you did Rey Mysterio, didn't
Yeah, I think I did because I
you?
said
Okay.
he hit me a part-timer and have a belt.
Yeah. Well, clearly that's not a problem.
No, I was still right because he retired from boxing to focus on WWE full time, so he's no longer a part-timer.
We'll see.
Yeah, technically correct, which is, of course, the best kind of correct. So that's a push. I'm going to say that one's a push.
And Io Sky, of course, getting the win over Bianca Belair. I believe we both had Io in that one.
We both bought a vowel, two vowels.
Cody Rhodes gets a win over Damian Priest by pinfall. I cannot remember. I want to say I had Cody in that one.
No, I think you said the loss doesn't hurt Cody. And I said, well, how many times have you said that? And here
Okay.
we are. I
Maybe
think you had
I did
Damian
do
winning.
that.
And I know I had Cody winning because I think a loss does hurt Cody. A
Okay.
certain one at WrestleMania certainly did.
Okay. Well, I'll take your word on that one.
You should.
And
Have ever
so,
steered you wrong, Jim.
and of course, Roman Reigns defeats LA Knight by pinfall,
Yeah.
by interference. Let me know if you've ever heard this before. Roman wins by interference. And so your tribal chief, your head of the table, Mr. Roman Reigns, is still your undisputed WWE Universal Champion.
Of the world.
I think we both had Roman in that one. So it does look like you got the one up on me, so I guess I owe you some beer.
Don't know if anyone's ever paid off on this bet, so let's just keep going on
No, you've paid off once.
it. Okay, well.
I know that because I had to go pick it up. Like, you're not gonna bring it to me, but
Well, no, if you lived, if directions to your house include turn off the paved road, you're coming to get the beer your own damn self.
well, you can stay on the paved road and I'll just meet you at the end.
This isn't Boys to Men. We're not going to the end of the road.
Old time feeling back again.
You mean Motown Philly?
Whatever.
Yeah, so speaking of horrifying mistakes like we just had there, neither one of us, and it occurred to me right after we logged off, that neither one of us put Jake the Snake Roberts on our spookiest gimmick list. And I feel really bad about that. So include permit me to apologize to Mr. Robert, who I know is obviously an avid and loyal listener of the show. Allow me to apologize because, yeah, he didn't need all kinds of gimmicks and scary foofora to be creepy. I mean, he had a snake, but he didn't need it. Just look into those cold, dead eyes like a doll's eyes and listen to him talk to you. Not, you know, cut a promo, talk to you through the camera. And yeah, that's some pants pooping terror right there.
Dead eyes. Eyes like a mackerel.
There
Eyes of lifeless eyes.
you go.
Dead
Yeah, I was doing
eyes.
Quint. I don't know what that is that you're doing, but yes.
That's also Quinn.
Yeah, well, Quint was a survivor of the Indianapolis, which is a horrifying story if you've never looked into it.
So I have a friend that was in the USS Indianapolis movie
Yeah. There's a movie.
Yeah, that Nick Cage is in, along with Tom Sizemore, and
Well, Nick Cage is in everything. I mean, come
it was
on.
actually relatively recent, so you know it was terrible.
How can it be recent? Tom Sizemore's been dead for like 10 years.
I said relatively recent,
Okay.
but anyways, so yeah,
Oh
we.
no, he died earlier this year, in fact. Why did I think he's been dead for a long time?
He just
He
looked
died
like
in
it.
March.
He just looked like it.
Well, again, going back to Father James Mitchell, I believe he did like the smell of it.
Well, I mean, what was the last good movie that Tom Sizemore was in?
Apparently, this Indianapolis one you're talking about. I haven't seen
No,
it.
that was not a good movie.
Okay, well, it's a good, well, I don't say a good story. It's a horrifying story. And by the way, how remiss can we have been? We recorded this, in fact, on the 11th day of the 11th month, well past the 11th hour. But the fact remains, it is, in fact, Veterans Day. So whether you served on the Indianapolis or not, thank you, all of our servicemen and women out there, for your service.
Yeah, thank you for your service. We really appreciate that. Of course, we are going to be going over 1999 Survivor Series, which is the debut of your Olympic hero,
I had a whole lead up for
Mr.
that. I had a whole thing I was going to do on that. But, all right.
Okay,
Keep
well,
going.
go ahead with it.
Well, no, now you've ruined the ending.
Well,
Okay, I'll do it right before the match starts. How about that?
okay.
All right.
That's fine too. Which actually took place at the Joe Louis Arena in Motown, November 14th, 1999, not too terribly long ago. But yeah, that USS Indianapolis movie was awful. It
Well, you said
was,
Nick Cage and Tom Sizemore, so I assumed it was bad.
and relatively recent. So I want to say it was like 2013
That's still 10
ish
years ago.
when it came out. But anyways, it came out like whenever my buddy and me were in law school, and so we watched it and. We also watched a movie that Tom Sizemore was in just prior to that called Halloweed. And
Wordplay. It's funny.
somehow or another, Halloweed was better.
Now, is it as good as Scarecrow a Go-Go or whatever it was? What's the one Ken Shamrock was in as a softball coach? It was amazing.
I
It's
don't
so
know.
bad.
I
It
don't
was
know, but
so bad.
I need to, it sounds like I need to listen,
Hang on,
watch
let me find
this.
it. Hang on. Ken Shamrock horror movie.
But there is a Wrestlers versus Zombies I still have
Scarecrow
not
Gone
seen.
Wild. Look
Scarecrow
it
Gone
up.
Wild. Okay.
Yeah, from 2004. Yeah. Oh, it's so bad.
I'm gonna have to check that out.
You should. It's awful.
You should. And
Oh, speaking of awful and scarecrows and whatnot, Friendsgiving coming up, right? We're doing that.
yeah,
All right. So
we're
Abby
doing
and I will be
Friendsgiving.
providing the nanner pudding and the centerpiece for Friendsgiving over at your house.
Absolutely. I got that bird and that mac and cheese, and
There you
still
go.
trying to figure out what everybody else is doing. But
Well, you got your nanner pudding covered and your centerpiece with the ultimate gobbledygooker and Undertaker and the egg, as Mean Gene calls it.
Dude, I saw this recipe for deviled egg sliders.
What?
So they're deviled eggs, but obviously you
I
cut them in
understand
half.
what a slider
You
is.
put a yeah, obviously
You
a
already cut deviled eggs in half. They're already cut in half.
well, yeah, but it's deviled egg on each side, and in the middle you got your burger. So it's interesting.
You couldn't even fit a, what are they, ostrich eggs? You couldn't even fit a crystal between
It's very,
two.
very, very, very small. Like, it's finger food, obviously.
Yeah, see, that sounds like overhandling to me. I just eat the deviled eggs.
Yeah, the
You ever had
deviled
the
eggs.
deviled eggs are like they're runny and like watery? That's gross. Anyway, I think we've taken a turn
Well,
here.
I don't know, man.
No,
I
I
kind of like
know.
soft boiled.
No.
Just me. But anyways, on to the main event of the evening. We got 1999 Survivor Series took place in Detroit, Michigan, Motown at the Joe Louis Arena. Over 18,000 in attendance. And all in all, not a bad one at all. We're going to kick things off with the Godfather and D'Lo Brown and the Headbangers winning an elimination match over the Dudleys and the Acolytes in 9 minutes and 36 seconds. Of course, the whole team from the Godfather side came out dressed like pimps. No hate on that. I thought.
Well, this is when they didn't know what to do with D'Lo after the Nation broke up, and he actually was a pimp for a little while. He was junior pimp under the Godfather for a bit.
Yeah.
I've forgotten about that until I saw this.
But Mosh was out being pinned by Bubba at 4:57. Bradshaw was DQ'd after hitting D'Lo and partner Bubba with really hard chair shots, and that looked stiff as shit. And Devon and Farouk, I guess, just couldn't get along, and they fought each other. Who would get pinned, Bubba? And anyways, Devon covered him, but Farouk led drop Devon. They both went outside, and just wasn't really working out with them. And the Godfather
You hate to see
never
it.
got never never got tagged in one time, which probably explains why the match was better than expected, according to Meltzer.
Ouch.
Ouch. Oh, no. I think that anger is misplaced. And
what do you mean? What? The Godfather's not a bad wrestler. We just praised him.
That's what I'm saying. He was saying that the match is better by him not participating.
We're pro Godfather. We're both Godfather.
Yeah, very much pro Godfather. Pro Papa Shango, pro Goodfather, pro comma, pro all of them. But anyways, Bubba blocked a Frankensteiner from D'Lo off the top, dropping him with a top rope powerbomb, and Godfather finally tagged in right there at the end. And signally they were going to get the finish. He squashed Bubba with the Ho Train and then pinned him after frog splash from Brown. So Meltzer gives it 2.25 stars. I think that's pretty fair. I'd probably go 2.5. They kept it quick. They kept it believable. And I think they did a good job. What do you think, JD?
You know, I'm actually going to go thumbs up on this one. I don't know how many, apart from the next match, I don't know how many singles matches there actually were on this. One, two, three. Yeah, three. In a 10-match card, three are singles matches, which is very interesting. But I'll give it a break because it's Survivor Series. So they didn't do a traditional Survivor Series match, really. But they did have a series of these elimination type and multiple man matches, which is fine by me. And like I told you before we went on the air, this is kind of a nice snapshot of the classic Attitude Era to me. I mean, you got the Godfather, the Headbangers, you got the Acolytes, the Dudley Boys. I mean, it's a heck of a nice trip to me down memory lane. And for what it was, it's fine. So I'm going to give it a thumbs up on that.
I hear you.
But up next.
Your Olympic hero.
We have it. God damn it. You're just going to steal my thunder again.
Yeah.
Let's take it back. Let me start over.
Sorry.
Cut that out.
I won't.
Up next, we have the WWF pay-per-view premiere of quite possibly, in my opinion, the greatest wrestler of all time. With a real-life championship pedigree that is impeccable. Ryan, it cannot be pecked. And I know what you're thinking. No, 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 no. I'm not talking about Sean Stasiak, son of the legendary Stan Stasiak. I'm talking about his opponent, one Kurt, broken freaking neck Angle.
No, you're definitely talking about Stasiak.
Okay. Now, I forgot that Stasiak was alive, but also Kurt's first pay-per-view match here. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
way
look
to
at,
go.
Look at, and
way
not
to,
a
way
bad.
To go, way to go, meat.
You know what? I think it says a lot about Stasiak's ability. He's not well regarded necessarily these days. Not a fondly remembered superstar of the past necessarily, but clearly they thought he was a safe worker and a solid worker and was good to have Angle's first match. So I give him credit here. Angle comes out with some good mat wrestling. Of course, they played a tremendous VTR, whatever, what do they call those? VTR, a promo package of Kurt being just a smug
vignette.
Thank you. That's a good one. Just being smug and superior and condescending and just fantastic. I love this man. Angle comes out with some good mat wrestling.
Apparently, it was not supposed to come across that way.
I know. That's the thing. Like, he thought he was being genuine.
Not in Kurt's head, anyway.
Right. In Kurt's mind.
But the way that they edited it,
right,
it made it seem like a complete smug asshole.
Right. It's so good. It's so good. Anyway. So Kurt does some mat wrestling and Stasiak's right with him. It's perfectly fine. There's a couple little things where you can see Kurt's just kind of a step off again, his, you know, very early in his career here. So can't complain about that too much. He actually gets a little frustrated and clotheslines Stasiak and rolls out of the ring to grab the mic and talk and dress the fans down for booing an Olympic hero. And a mid-match promo, I mean, that's rock territory, right, at this point. I mean, Kurt Angle is just such a natural at this. It's so freaking good. Meltzer would say here that Angle ends up winning with a Samoan drop. We all know that to be the Angle Slam, in fact. And it's a little bit different from Samoan drop. But that's not the point right now. Angle looking impressive, and this is the best Stasiak has looked since coming to the WWF. Not that anyone actually picked up on it. I did. I just said it. Dave, damn. Give me a little credit. I'm going to give it thumbs up. Dave gives it a star and a half. I think it's better than that. Of course, I'm completely biased because it's Kurt Angle. Go ahead.
I mean, first of all, the only reason that it's anyway enjoyable is because Kurt Angle was in it.
He's the best.
Very short match, you know, star and a half. I don't know about that, man. Go ahead and give it two. But it was not meant to be a exercise, you know, we're going to be in this for 30 minutes and, you know, Ric Flair is going to be jealous of the match we had. That's not,
it's not an artistic masterpiece.
That is not the point of this match. It is to introduce Kurt Angle to the WWF universe at this time. And they responded accordingly, which is interesting. I think the whole concept behind taking a literal Olympic hero and just, mm-hmm, turning him heel from the get-go.
So good.
It's definitely, you're definitely thinking outside the box because, and I'm not talking about the proverbial Wheaties box, but, but this is part of the reason why Vince McMahon is in the position that he's in terms of financially and the health of the company, because he saw, there are moments where Vince McMahon listens to the fans and understands his fan base. And then, mm-hmm, there are moments that he doesn't. This is a moment where he understands the basis or his fan base, because if you remember, they tried to do that Mr. USA stuff with Mark Henry a few years prior. Mm-hmm. It didn't really work. you know, and Mark Henry, obviously world's strongest man, yada yada yada. They decked him head to toe and red, white, and blue, and made him seem like he was some sort of Olympic hero, yada yada yada. It didn't catch on. And I think perhaps from that experience, Vince learned, hey, maybe, you know, just the fact that somebody was in the Olympics doesn't mean a whole hell of a lot to the audience here. But what if we have somebody that knows he is an Olympic hero, that knows and can constantly repeat to you that he won a gold medal? Because this is a guy that you run into at the gym that reminds you of it all the time, every time you live with him. I was in the Olympics and I did this. I was in the Olympics, I did that.
I think you're glossing over something important here. He not only won an Olympic gold medal, he did so on a broken, let me finish, freaking neck. Let's not forget.
Yeah. And he also cried like a little bitch. But anyway.
It's all right to cry when you win.
Well, technically he won. Yeah. But anywho, I think the awareness of Vince is, at least at this point in time, is no more evident than looking at Kurt Angle's presentation initially.
I
So.
100% agree. Vince, through the auspices of Cold Stone Steve Austin, was finally aware that the era of the anti-hero was upon us. This is the rebellious late 90s. I mean, kids are wearing, pants. You could run a hula hoop through the legs down at the bottom there. It's all about the Marilyn Manson and the goth kids are in full swing here. Your face paint clowns are a big to do. What are they called? The International Cream Pies. What is it?
The what?
ICP. What's the thing?
Insane Clown Posse?
That's the one. Yeah. So it's all
Whoop,
about
whoop.
that kind of thing. Yeah, something like that. It's all about that sort of thing. And so your traditional clean cut. I mean, listening to this promo that Kurt gives, in the vignette, it's Vern Gagne. I mean, it's straight up Vern Gagne from, the 40s and 50s. That time had obviously passed. Vince, of course, smart enough at this point to realize that was the case and run with it. So good. Such a good premiere. Such a good debut. Credit to Stan Stasiak for, being able to work with Kurt at this early stage. But yeah, I just, we're probably giving this way more attention than it deserves, but I really enjoyed it. Moving on.
Yeah, that is the debut of your Olympic hero and mine, Mr. Curtis Angle. Up next, we got Val Venus, Mark Henry, Gangrel, and Steve Blackman getting the win over Davey Boy and the Mean Street Posse. This is probably the worst thing I saw the whole time.
I don't know. Mae Young was on this.
Yeah, this is the worst one.
Okay.
I mean, first of all, I know what I'm getting with those ladies. This right here.
Don't know what you're getting with the Mean Street Posse?
I mean, yeah, I guess I do. But I thought it was going to be terrible, and it is.
Go.
Yeah, I'm not even really going to talk about it. I just didn't think it was. I just thought it was a complete waste of time. And Mark Henry, and I think the best wrestler in this whole match is Gangrel. And no disrespect to Gangrel or David Heath is his real name, or Val Venus, Sean Morley. I think they did great. Davey Boy was not good in this.
Well, not by this time. I mean, this is getting towards, unfortunately, the tail end of Davey Boy's career.
Yeah, well, and ipso facto is life.
Well, that too.
Yeah, it's not very good to me. Meltzer gives it a quarter star. I think I'd give it one just out of pity, but yeah, it wasn't very good to me. What do you think?
Yeah, it's not great. I mean, I'm tempted to give it a thumbs up, but I'm not going to. Because again, a great snapshot of the Attitude Era here. Because what else does Val Venus, Mark Henry, Gangrel, and the world's most dangerous? Or excuse me, that was the Lethal Weapon, Steve Blackman, have in common? Nothing other than, hey, we're still getting paid off pay-per-views here, so let's get everybody on the show. Again, it's Survivor Series, so the multiple man thing doesn't really bother me as much as it probably would otherwise. But yeah, it's not good. It's not good. Love to see Val Venis and Gangrel and all these and Steve Blackman and all these guys get a paycheck. And again, it does do my heart good to see the Mean Street Posse from the mean streets of Greenwich, Connecticut. Now, what I like about it right here is that Pete Gas, I mean, basically Meltzer lists all the wrestlers and then their actual names, except for Pete Gas. Is Pete Gas his actual name? Like, is it was he christened Pete Gas
I have no idea.
on his christening?
I don't care that much about to look it
Well,
up.
we're going to find out right now.
But up next, we got Mae Young and Fabulous Moolah and Tori and Deborah getting the win over Jacqueline, Terry, and Luna and Ivory. So we got PMS in the house right
Pretty
here.
Mean Sisters.
Pretty Mean Sisters.
And by the way, it is Peter John Gasparino. So close. Go ahead.
That's yeah.
Yeah, this is on me. This was my It's my turn. Mae Young, Fabulous Moolah, Tori, not that one, and Deborah, that one, beat Jacqueline, Terry, Luna, and Ivory in a very long 1 minute and 53 seconds. Here's how you know it's a great match. When the first four words of the review are, it was really awful. So, yeah, it was not great. You forget that Tori, kind of the forgotten diva. No one really talks about her. Again, not that one, not Tori Wilson, the one before that. I wonder whatever happened to her. But anyway, basically, Lawler just keeps talking about how old. Yeah, Moolah and May are, which is true. That's fair. And then they got a weird, like, kind of close up of May's tattoos on her arm. I don't really remember what that was about, but it's fine. Yeah, so it was just not good at all. So, as Dave says, it fell short of its long promise or long of its promise of being the worst match of all time. He gives it negative 1.25 stars. I'm just going to give it a thumbs down.
Yeah, adequately scored as far as I'm concerned. Not very good, but there is certain redeeming qualities about the match that I'm okay with.
I know you're a big Moolah and May fan.
Absolutely. I want to show you my peppies. Anyways, we
They're
got
basset hounds.
those anteaters. But anyways, the Kane is actually going to get the win over X-Pac via disqualification in the next match.
Again, involving Tori.
Sean Waltman is just one of those guys that can get a good match out of pretty much anybody.
Damn, just a slam on Kane out of nowhere. Okay.
Well, I'm not slamming Kane necessarily. Can't pick him up to begin with, but
Hey-o.
yeah, I mean, in this match, it seems like they were kind of running short on time on the next couple of matches.
Yeah, I feel like they kind of had to speed
I
up.
feel like maybe somebody ran long.
Well, somebody ran over Austin, which is a vignette coming up.
Yeah. And but anyways, yeah, so Tori came back for the save, but X-Pac, not seeing it was a woman, gave her a spin kick, which knocked her out. Unfortunately, the guy who chose the replay angles wasn't so great, as
Yeah.
the first one clearly showed the kick missing her by a foot.
And him looking at her long enough to realize who it was.
Yeah, and the subsequent replays were from angles that didn't show how badly it was missed. Kane woke up and DX ran, and X-Pac is the best wrestler that Dave Meltzer has ever seen that almost always has bad matches on pay-per-view.
Yeah. Well, of course, Bray Wyatt had not.
That runs counter to anything I've ever said or seen about Mr. Waltman.
Something you just said, in fact.
Yeah, I think Sean Waltman's one of those guys that can. I mean, he hated it. I didn't hate it. I thought it was decent.
It was fine. I mean, it wasn't great.
He gives it a half star. I give it a star and a half.
Let me say this. This pay-per-view, very toyetic. And that this, we got that Ultimate Kane here recently in this attire, which is fantastic. The black with the red, you just switch it out. And this is lean Kane too. This is like when Kane was in top form.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, this is I don't get the hate for this match. It was fine. It kind of did what it needed to do. It wasn't the greatest match I've ever seen. I mean, we had that earlier with Kurt Angle versus Sean Stasiak, but yeah, no, nothing wrong with this. Thumbs up for me.
Yeah. Up next, we got the Big Show and Boss Man and Albert and Midian and Viscera. Why don't you take it away, JD?
This requires some unpacking, and I have not been drinking enough today to get through this. Okay, so Big Boss Man and Big Show have been in a feud over the word "big." I'm not kidding. I'm kidding, but barely. You see a repeat from SmackDown in the intro package here, where Big Show's father had allegedly died. Of course, he died. I think he died when Paul White was a kid. But anyway, Big Show's father apparently dies, and at the funeral, at the graveside, Big Boss Man hooks up the coffin to the back of his car and drags it across the cemetery with Big Show like jumping on top of the casket and being pulled around on the car. It's the dumbest thing maybe ever. But yeah, this is where we're at with wrestling at this point. So anyway, yeah, it's going to be Big Show versus.
Well, hang on. Let's back this up a bit.
All right, go ahead.
I want to talk about Big Boss Man's car.
I want you to go
Well, first of all, it is the Blues Brothers car
ahead.
that has a big speaker on the top that is as big as the car is.
Yes.
It almost looked like, the video game Twisted Metal with a big old clown head at the top. It makes no freaking sense why it's there.
Well, it's supposed to be an ice cream truck, so.
Well, still doesn't make any sense.
Okay, go ahead.
And but there's this huge Jimmy Hart megaphone at the top that
Yeesh.
my daddy's dead. My daddy's dead. Boo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. But yeah, not necessarily I can't imagine that Boss Man was entirely comfortable with doing this.
No, he was definitely not comfortable doing the poetry reading in the ring. Because I mean, there was a tense shift, an approximate rhyme. The scansion left a lot to be desired. Clearly, Boss Man, not with a lot of experience reading poetry, certainly not out loud. It sounded awful. But go ahead.
Yeah, anyways, that's all I got for that. That was
Anyway, so yeah, so Big Show is supposed to be in this 4-on-4 match against Big Boss Man, Prince Albert, Midian, thank God clothed Midian, and also clothed Viscera. His partners were to be Kai and Tai and the Blue Meanie. But on Sunday Night Heat, which all good wrestling fans were watching, of course, Big Show clobbers his erstwhile partners because he wants to face the Big Boss Man on his own. And so he basically just he comes out with three finishers stored up, if we're in video game terms, and just takes out the other three in short order with choke slams, including maybe the worst choke slam in history with Viscera. I mean, he got about 6 inches of air, maybe. It was pretty bad. Midian got it right way up though. Good for him. But yeah, so then he goes after Boss Man, and basically Boss Man just runs off and it ends in a count out. It was a thing that happened. Yeah, thumbs down. It was bad. Negative
Yeah.
one star from Adam Meltzer.
Yeah. Well, yeah, not good. Well, a minute and a half. I mean,
Yeah, it was bad.
I'm not a big fan of just shitting all over the other guys just to get the Boss Man for a count out.
Right.
Yeah.
But also, is
I'm
that the
not a huge fan.
fastest count out in wrestling history?
Definitely got to be the fastest match in Survivor Series history. As best I can tell or remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wasn't, I just didn't get it. Like, okay, so
There's really nothing to get here.
you're gonna prolong this feud right here. I mean, you could have probably wrapped it up at Survivor Series instead of prolonging it, but hey, whatever. Of course, Mr. Austin gets hit by a car And who ended up hitting him with the car?
I believe if you go back in the archives, we learned it was, in fact, a blonde-headed driver, as was posited by Jerry the King Lawler. However, it was not Mr. Hunter Hearst Helmsley. He drives better than that on the mean streets of Greenwich, Connecticut. It was, in fact, Ricochet. Rikishi. That's it. That's the
Rikishi.
one. He did it
Rikishi.
for The Rock. He did it for the people. Of course, we won't find that out until like a year later of this Who Shot JR stuff. But
Yeah.
still. But the finger of blame firmly resting upon Triple H for the rest of the broadcast.
But
As
anyway, so Austin gets hit with a car because honestly, he needs a reason to be out for several months. He's undergoing neck surgery at that point, and honestly, he doesn't know that he's going to be able to wrestle again at this point. So get well soon there, Steve-O. And up next, we got China getting the win over Chris Jericho to retain the Intercontinental title. Of course, China being the first and, to my knowledge, the only female Intercontinental champion. I could be wrong about that, but definitely the first one.
Certainly.
And China, and I know that they tried to book her as being as tough as the guys. She's not. And she was very stiff in the ring. She was much more of an attraction. There was, the reason that you call her the ninth wonder of the world is that she's just like Andre. Andre was an attraction. You can't have Andre coming out every single night. And
Well, oh, I'm sorry. It made me think of something. Go ahead.
well, Big Show, to his credit, can actually go. But
Yeah, but he's still just a giant that got overexposed. You don't need to see him
And
every
that,
week. It makes him less special every time you see him.
well, all the more reason to not bring him out all that time. But
Exactly my point. Go ahead.
a very good worker. I would say that Show is probably better in the ring than Andre was. But anyway, so, China did the pedigree. Jericho kicked out. China went for a hurricane and a slow mechanical as opposed to a smooth motion, according to Meltzer. And Jericho turned it into a Boston Crab, Walls of Jericho, whatever. And they had a rope break spot at that one. And fans are just booing this. Not that big a deal to them. China hits a low blow and hits a pedigree and gets the pin. Maybe the office, according to Meltzer. Maybe the office will see the fact that the last 3 minutes had heat and not realize it's because China was exposed, but enough fans didn't catch it, creating a divisiveness of crowd, which makes often for the best heat possible, and think it's because Jericho is so popular and give him a push. Of
There you
course, this is back in 1999, so Meltzer on this case is probably fishing just a little bit. Anyway, so Jericho not really getting the push that he probably at this point deserves, but it's coming. And so Meltzer gives it a star. I'll stick with that. It's not good. It's not terrible. But it's pretty close.
pretty close to terrible. Yeah.
Pretty close to
Yeah.
terrible.
Thumbs down. It's bad. I just think it's a waste of Jericho, frankly. I mean, I thought that at the time. I still think it now. Nothing in the intervening 24 years has made me decide this was a good idea. So just moving on from that. The Hardcore Hollies, which I don't think anyone's ever called them, it's just the Hollies, I believe, and Too Cool beat Edge and Christian and Matt and Jeff Hardy. Interesting to see those guys on the same side of the coin, as they will be, of course, legendary rivals, and were at this point, actually, having competed in the Terry Invitational tournament, as I recall, to win her managerial services.
The tip.
The Terry Invitational tournament.
The TIT.
Yes, the Terry Invitational tournament.
The teat.
So, yeah. Apparently, this is right around the same time when the crowd kind of learned that Austin was not going to be in the main event, as advertised. So, yay, good job, WWE, on that one. WWF on that one. Bait and switch, card subject to change. So apparently that's why the crowd is kind of off on this one. They just don't really care. It's not bad for what it is. I think it's a pretty good match. I mean, as for four tag teams in the same match, it's as good as you're going to get, frankly. Without, without it being a tables, ladders, and chairs, which would become, legend on their own. Edge and Christian and the Hardys are off of a classic match, actually just a few weeks earlier. But, apparently, according to Dave, that didn't really count for much. The crowd didn't remember too much about it. Series of spectacular high risk moves early. But then basically, Bob Holly just does a flip dive onto everyone else. And Edge spears him, Crash and Christian accidentally spear Matt. Bob pins Edge after a roll-up, which weird. How is Edge the first guy that takes a pinfall? And the biggest star out of all these guys is the first one out. That's pretty interesting to me. Basically, I think a lot of – I can't speak for the in-ring crowd, in-arena crowd, but a lot of this match, the bad parts of it were made so because it's just JR and King talking about Grandmaster Sexay the entire time. Of course, Jerry Lawler's son, Brian Christopher, rest in peace, portraying Grandmaster Sexay. But I mean, that was the one thread throughout the entire commentary. It's just, okay, I get it. It's Lawler's son. He's playing favorites. He's trying not to admit that's his son, but he praises everything he does. I don't know. It just, that and the Austin thing just overshadowed the entire commentary, and not that part was not enjoyable for me. It finally gets whittled down to Bob Holly versus Christian, and Bob gets the pin after blocking a Rana attempt and sitting down on Christian for the pin. So basically grab him like almost like a power bomb and sit down to get the pinfall here. Meltzer says one of those rare matches that is actually tons better if you watch it with the sound up. Thank you, Dave, because you're not influenced by the fact the crowd wasn't making any noise for all this hard work. I would actually, like I said, throw in the commentary too. Not, I mean, obviously JR and the King are legendary wrestling commentators, not their best work, frankly. Thumbs up for the match, but other than that, watch it with the sound off, like a Britney Spears video.
Yeah, I think Steve getting ran over by the car probably should have been saved for the end.
Well, I mean, it overshadows everything else. And again, you're bait and switching your crowd. I mean, I understand it's card subject to change, but you had advertised Stone Cold, the biggest star of all time, in the main event, and now that's not going to happen.
But yeah. Good match though.
Yeah.
Meltzer gives it 3 stars. I give it 3.5. I thought it was pretty
Ooh,
good.
look at you.
As far as the in-ring work, pretty good. Can't really say too many bad things about it. 16 minutes. I mean, it was, 14 minutes. It was longer than the others. I kind of wish it would have gone just a little bit longer. But other than that, great match, gentlemen. Up next, we got the New Age Outlaws getting the win over Al Snow and Mankind in 1359. I really wish that this match would have been shorter. As good of friends as Mick Foley and Al Snow were, that for whatever reason in this particular match, they didn't have a whole lot of chemistry. It's just the timing just seemed off. There was a ref got in the way and hit, but didn't go down because it wasn't supposed to be a ref bump on one point. Everybody got their stuff in, and Mankind kicked out of Gunn's Famouser, which is at this point in time, I mean, we're not kicking out of finishers all the time.
Right.
Mankind used the double arm DDT on Gunn while Snow used the snow plow on Dog. Mankind pulled out Mr. Socko, got the claw in on both guys, but they both low blowed him at the same time. That spot got a little heat. Snow hit Gunn with the mannequin head, and Gunn kicked out of the Mankind's pin. I mean, everybody got their stuff in, and everybody was kicking out of everything. Part of the reason why I don't like a whole lot of stuff goes on today. Finally, the Outlaws gave Mankind a spike pile driver, and Gunn pinned him for what Meltzer considers to be a star and a quarter. I think he's high on that because it, like I said, man, it's everything that I don't like today. Everybody just getting in their stuff and doing routines and kicking out of finishers. I don't like that. I give it zero. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna give it a thumbs down because you would think just because to me it falls below expectations. I mean, here you have first ballot Hall of Fame, you know, legendary performers in the wrestling industry and Al Snow. And it just, these four are capable of much, much better. And it's just what, yeah, I don't know. Again, is it partially because the crowd's deflated? I don't know. But I mean, the New Age Outlaws, their interest gets them right back up. They're right with it, with the you know, call and response, or sing along, whatever you want to call it, with Road Dogg. So I don't really understand why this didn't work, but it didn't work. Put it that way.
Well, it's the main
it's the
event.
Main event. So the advertised main event that people paid their money for, both in the arena and at home, was World Heavyweight Champion, WWF World Wrestling Federation Champion, Triple H versus Dwayne Johnson, also known as The Rock at this time, versus Stone Cold Steve Austin. Whatever happened there, Stone Cold gets hit by a car. And so, of course, now we need a substitute in the main event, although Hunter is pushing for a one-on-one match with The Rock. But given his history with The Rock, I don't know why he would want that. At any rate, we don't know who is coming out. Rock comes out first, kind of does his thing. Then Triple H comes out as the champion. And then we find out, well, it's the Big Show filling in for one Stone Cold Steve Austin. Now, traditional or conventional wisdom is whenever there's a triple threat match, particularly for a title in the main event, look at who doesn't belong there, and that's who's going to tote the loss, right? That, like, you know, a few years ago we had Daniel Bryan versus Triple H versus Kane or something like that, and Kane was a lot of times in this spot. Like, he's just here to take the loss, so we don't have to put a pin loss on either of the two guys we have plans for. Bizarrely, that's not what happens in this one. This is the exception that proves the rule. Although Dave would say this had no heat in the ring, but the crowd did get into it as they all brawl in the entranceway. Triple H buys him through a table, which woke the crowd up. Rock hits Show with a fire extinguisher and then with the ring bell. So just a lot of things happen, a lot of foofura and outside shenanigans, which to me, I guess, was this – did they ever announce this was a no – disqualification match or anything like that? Because I feel like Big Show.
Yeah, it was no DQ to begin with.
Okay, was it already? All right, maybe I just missed that. Because I remember thinking, man, Big Show and Triple H have been outside a long time. If they both get counted out, does that make The Rock the winner, even if he doesn't get the belt? But, you know, then JR said, oh, you can't win on the outside. Like, okay, maybe it's no DQ. I don't know. So, at any rate, getting to the end here, Show throws Rock through the ring steps, allowing Triple H to give Shane a pedigree because Shane runs out to be a special guest referee here. Shane, of course, the number one accuser of Triple H at this time for having run over Austin. So Shane gets a pedigree for his trouble. Rock hits a DDT on Triple H, but then DX came out to attack Rock. Vince showed up. It's been said that he went to the hospital with Stone Cold. Again, despite the history of Vince McMahon being in the hospital with Stone Cold, it hasn't worked out too well for him. But the storyline excuse is why Vince isn't there the rest of the night is that he's with Austin, but he makes it back here for this. Or maybe he was just faking the whole time. Who knows? Vince shows up looking stern to save the day, but he hits Triple H with the belt, which was, it had this weird sort of Triple H ducks and then turns around to see him. It was bizarre. Anyway, hits him the second time around, and then Show choke slams Triple H and gets the pin. Dave gives it 2 1/4 stars. For what it is, it's not bad. I almost want to give it a thumbs up, except for the fact that I don't like that we had a bait and switch of the advertised main event. So I'm going to give it a thumbs down in that regard. But again, a nice slice of Attitude Era sort of nostalgia here. What say you, Ryan? What do you make of this?
I thought it was in ring. I thought it was pretty good. I thought the Story told was pretty decent. I can certainly understand the disappointment between, you know, if you pay, especially if you paid your money to go
Yep.
to the, to go to this event,
Or get the pay-per-view.
but they, I don't think they had any other choice. They had to do what they had to do. So, you know, Meltzer gives it 2.5. I'll stick with that. Good match. Unfortunate circumstances, but in-ring work was pretty good. Still on the quicker side, I felt like they probably could have cut off two or three of these matches for this pay-per-view, and extended some of the ones that maybe could have benefited from being longer. And other than that, I mean, you know, if there was one match that probably could have been cut in half, it's probably the China and Jericho match.
Or cut entirely.
Well, I mean, it's your IC champ. You want that one to,
Have been on heat. I could have been on heat. Could have made a minute heat.
but I thought that overall the pay-per-view here was, it's a watch. It holds up. I'd give it 2.5 out of 5, which is, you know, certainly watchable. You know, good to see show get over on this. But
Yeah, I don't think it
I
was a very long title reign, but he had it, so good for
nah.
him.
Yeah, he but he let's face it, they didn't really need the belts.
No.
But yeah, man, good for them. Great job, gentlemen. I thought top to bottom was pretty decent. Overall, what's your impression of this?
Yeah, again, I'm grading it on a curve with some nostalgia goggles here because it is just a great little snapshot of, you know, the classic Attitude Era. So I like it in that regard. But some of the individual decisions, while I understand they're trying to get a lot of people on the card because that's how people make their money back in the day, particularly on one of the big four pay-per-views, it got cluttered. And that kind of hampered it a little bit. But overall, I'm going to give it a thumbs up if for no other reason than to see some of my old friends again. And Kurt Angle was there too.
Your close personal friend,
Yes, of course.
Mr. Curtis Single. I mean, I've seen the picture. I mean,
You should have. It was a good one.
you guys are friendly.
Well,
But yeah, anywho, guys, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook at Army of Smartness, and of course, email that Gmail, armyofsmartness@gmail.com. We really appreciate you guys following us this long, and hope that you will be around for a little bit longer, as we intend to keep bringing you some of the best content on the interwebs,
certainly some of the content.
as far as I'm concerned. But JD, do you have anything else you would like to add, for our listening audience?
Well, we're staring down the barrel of our biggest challenge of the season as we face those Ole Miss Rebels tonight in the friendly confines of Sanford Stadium. So, of course, as always and forever, go Dogs.
Go Dogs, go Falcons, and we'll see how it all turns out. Of course, this is College Football Saturday as we are recording. And also go Georgia Southern Eagles. We're playing Marshall today, so at the same time, so I won't be watching that.
Who's we? You got a turd in your pocket?
People.
Okay.
But and also my high school football team is playing at the same time, so
On Saturday?
on a Saturday, yeah, GHSA did not have enough officials to
Huh.
cover, so apparently we have to play on Saturday.
Oh, there you go.
But anyways, that's a whole nother podcast. Anywho, again, thank you guys for following us this far, and I will bid our listening audience adieu. Adieu.